Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's Managed Hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Your weekend Boneyard at long last. It has been an exceptionally busy week for your good friend and host, in addition to everybody connected to Mississippi State baseball. We're going to get everything caught up today. It's been a busy day today. Yeah, so basically, just to kind of recap, just so you guys know. So Wednesday, my grandson was born. As you guys know, a lot of very, very, very encouraging and positive comments from you guys about that show. And, yeah, I was a basket case all the way to Bentonville, Arkansas, 7 hours in the car by my lonesome. I usually make a couple stops along the way, but I was so eager to get there and see him. It was a one-stop trip. And so spent an hour with him, and then I went to go find a hotel room, and it was shareholders week for Walmart in Bentonville. So I had to go to like 7 hotels before I finally found a place to lay my weary head. Went to bed, got up, went and spent another hour with him and my grand girls. Had a chance to see all 3 of them together. It's a very special moment. Got in the car around 9:30 and headed back to Stark Vegas. Apparently there was something big that happened in Memphis because the GPS took me through the Delta, some places I've never been before. And we got back in just enough time to head to the house, take the dogs out for a bathroom break, change clothes, get to Duty Noble Field, meet up with Jason Crowder for a radio hit there at the stadium. And the next thing you know, it was the presentation of Coach Brian O'Connor to our very beloved fan base. We're going to break some of that down. We're going to talk about some of the portal activity. We'll talk about some football camp stuff. The house settlement has now been officially ruled upon. There will still be some legal challenges to that. You can already go ahead and set your clocks to it. There are some Title IX lawsuits coming. You might as well go ahead and get ready. That's coming. And I don't know what that means for us going forward. I know that I was told today, and it's kind of a bit of a surprise. I was told today because July 1st is supposed to be the day the house settlement goes into action. But I had somebody tell me today that the new NIL rules actually go into place on June 11th. That's from a Mississippi State staffer. I have not done my own research. I don't know what all that means. But I do know that ahead of the house settlement, people needed to get deals done that maybe did not fit the parameters of the house settlement. And that was done in the case of one Ace Reese, who has announced he will be back in maroon and white. That is great news for everybody involved with Bulldog baseball. He should be the face of our program next year, even though that we will have some newcomers. We'll get you up to speed on that as well. Really cool top 10 list today. I'm excited about it. I think you guys will enjoy it too. One of the things that I love, because I'm a petty person, I admit that. It's a character defect. I'm very petty. I love the fact that so many people around the Southeastern Conference are upset with us. Because if they're upset with us, then we're doing something that makes them uncomfortable. And hiring Brian O'Connor was a big part of that. And shared that on social media. We were given a copy of the details of Brian O'Connor's compensation package. Let's go over that real quickly. It's interesting, some people on Facebook are like, hey, why do I feel like I'm not supposed to be seeing this? My friend Holly Shook made that comment on Facebook. She is my friend. Her and Dave are great. If you know, to know them is to love them. They're a great couple. I love seeing them together. They both look really happy. Met her at a book signing years ago at the Christmas Village there in Tupelo. And they weren't together, I guess, then yet. But I love to see people that are happy. Love to see blended families where everybody kind of comes out ahead, you know. And so nevertheless, if you know them, be sure to let Big Dave know I gave him a shout out on the show. Like that guy a lot. And probably like her more. I mean, but yeah, he's super cool. Love that guy, man. But Mississippi State University head coach Brian O'Connor, compensation terms as provided to us by Mississippi State. Term of contract, 4 years. As you guys know, that's what the IHL kind of the parameters they put in place. Average annual base compensation, $2.9 million. So basically what I interpret that to be is that the last 2 years of that deal are over $3 million. Brian O'Connor, now the second highest paid baseball coach in America, behind only Tony Vitello of Tennessee. That's rarefied air. And it's to be quite honest with you, it's air we should have owned a long time ago. Some performance incentives for Coach O'Connor, $50,000 for winning the SEC regular season championship, $50,000 for winning the Southeastern Conference Tournament Championship. I'll be honest with you, I think the regular season title is worth more because that gets you into top eight national seed contention rather than 1 week. 30-game SEC season. That's just me. $50,000 bonus if coach is named the Conference Coach of the Year by the coaches, because there's a million organizations out there announcing their awards. It don't really mean a whole lot, but $50,000 if he is the National Coach of the Year according to the Coaches Association. The highest of the following if more than one is applicable. $50,000 for an appearance in an NCAA tournament regional. I like that. $100,000 for an appearance in an NCAA tournament super regional. $150,000 for an appearance in the College World Series. $200,000 appearance in the College World Series final. And $300,000 if you win the national championship. So the higher of those, you don't get them all. You know, it's not consecutive. You don't just stack up milestones. So if you make the regional $50,000, you make the College World Series final, you know, it's, $200,000? You win the whole shooting match, it's $300,000. And it's incredible how ignorant some people are on social media. I'm not breaking any news there. But a guy said, I can't believe that's all Mississippi State's willing to pay for their first national championship. And I asked him, are you new here? You know. So the encouraging news behind all of this is that Mississippi State has grown very serious about baseball. And I've talked to some people before and after all of this that were concerned about our baseball funding because it is such a big part of our branding as a university. It has been corrected. We needed to sharpen the pencil a little bit and reorganize some things in order to attract the coach, the caliber of Brian O'Connor. And it's so interesting. So many people on the Virginia side, and listen, there's good and bad with every fan base, basically acted like Mississippi State was just a poverty program. You know, like we had a double-wide trailer in a country club community by being in the SEC, and then we have dwarfed the salary that they were paying him and that they offered him to stay. As shared with you guys before, we did not get him by default. Virginia fought very hard to keep him. Texas A&M got involved middle of the week trying to see if they could get him too. But he chose Mississippi State over Virginia, over Texas A&M. And somebody close to Brian O'Connor told me, as this thing began to kind of come together, he said, Brian O'Connor said, I believe that they will do what they're telling me they will do. That means a lot. It also means that he clearly has trust in Zach Selman and trust in Dr. Mark Keenum. Both of those men and their staffs deserve a tremendous amount of credit for selling Mississippi State, but also, too, for opening up the floodgates in many respects to ensure that we had the resources necessary to pull this off and to give Coach O'Connor a running start into a very important portal season. And all of you that were involved, and there are some of you listening to the show, And I want to tell you, on behalf of a very grateful fan base, thank you for your contributions to help make this thing happen. It takes a team. It takes all of us to make this happen. It's not just Mark Keenum. It's not just Zach Selman. There are some of our donors that have really stepped up on the fundraising side of things that were in a position to help us. Many of those younger people, too, and some older folks, but a lot of people involved in all this to make this happen. And so very, very grateful. And there are a lot of people that will never know your names, and you don't want them to. But let me tell you, on behalf of the nameless, faceless fans that love Mississippi State as much as you do, thank you. On behalf of them, thank you for what you have done to help Mississippi State baseball. Hey, you can help yourself to some Bulldog Burger Company, too. Just a small donation involved in that. Great pricing, great food, great atmosphere. Man, I don't know that there's anywhere out there I'd rather go eat than Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer to make you and everybody around you better looking. Somebody needs to make sure Coach O'Connor knows that, right? Hey, Coach, we've got a Fountain of Youth right down the street from you on University, and you can go have those spring rolls. It's true. It'll change your mood a little bit, too. Put you in a good mood. It will. Trust the science on that. Find your own favorites. And mine kind of circulate, to be honest with you. Sometimes I feel like this. Sometimes I feel like that. Some days I feel like a smokehouse. Some days I feel like a Pimentology add bacon. Some days I like the Fresh and 15. Find your own favorites. You'll be glad you did. Get a chocolate shake. Ride that ride home with a smile. You can get it to go in a to-go cup. How fun is that? Like, as you're paying your checks, hey, let's go ahead and add a couple shakes on there. Let's get those to go. So you can ride that ride home with a smile, have that great palate cleanser. I love Bulldog Burger Company. They love all of us, too. Be sure and show your appreciation and your love for them by patronizing them the next time that you have a lunch date with work colleagues or perhaps a night out with family or friends. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, the opening press conference with Brian O'Connor, of course, you know, we had the ceremony, and one of the things I want to say about that, Zach Selman and his staff have proven one thing for sure, and hopefully we don't have to have any of these anytime soon, but when we announce a coach, when we present our new coach to our fan base, we do it first class. We did it with Coach Levy on the steps of the SEAL building, and it was fabulous, and we did it Thursday night at Duty Noble Field. And I was so glad that we had, you know, some of the old Diamond Dogs there to be represented and to celebrate our tradition as a program. And some of the Diamond Dogs from 2025 season that weren't in the portal but also not have left for summer baseball also represented there. I thought it was great that they had their moment too in front of their fans and a part of all this to kind of celebrate. And to all of you that turned out, thank you very much. There was also a little revenue component of this thing, too, you may have missed. We had some corporate sponsorship for the event. Of course, some Brian O'Connor merch that you can buy. We had the concession stands open. And so it wasn't just, hey, we turned the lights on and spent a bunch of money. You know, it was also, there was a revenue-producing aspect of this that I think may have been lost on some people. And to me, that shows how savvy Zach Selman is. It's like, hey, we're going to spend this money, but what if we give somebody some naming rights? What if we do this and we can offset some of that cost? It's good business. It is. But it was first class, and if you haven't seen it, I know there was some problems with the feed. I know people were watching. All of a sudden, it said the event ended. Many of you were able to refresh and watch it. Some of you were not. I know, because my Twitter mentions were all filled up, and people tweet me, Steve, can you tell them the feed is canceled? I'm in a different part of the building. I would. I'd love to go advocate for you, but I'm trying to enjoy the ceremony too, but those TV people are kind of hemmed up in a different part of Duty Noble, and you just don't walk down there and knock on the door. You know what I'm saying? I know it's unfortunate for you. However, you can go back and watch it in its entirety on the Mississippi State YouTube channels. I think it's also on healthstate.com. You can go find it. It's out there now. Many of you have watched it. And I think you walked away probably equally as impressed as I did with Brian O'Connor. Now, once that ceremony was concluded, we had a chance to speak with Zach Selman kind of about the process. Not a lot of earth-shattering stuff there. I mean, about what you'd expect. Zach Selman is a pretty smooth operator, though. When he speaks, You know, you get the sense that he's not just searching for the right answer. He's prepared and answers your questions. You know, we've had some people in the past, you ask them a question, they just kind of say what they want to say and never really answer the question. But I thought Zach handled himself well. But the main attraction was Brian O'Connor. We ran the video, of course, and you can go watch that in its entirety. It wasn't available to everybody. Also, in addition to that, we've got a transcript for you in two parts over at jeanspage.com. Now, the most obvious questions, obviously, are going to get asked, right? I mean, because somebody has to ask them. You know, Coach, why was this the right time, the right move, the right situation? And you need to hear that, right? You do. But again, it's a very obvious question. And it's just a matter of who was going to ask it, right? Because that question needs to be asked. Give him the opportunity to explain why Mississippi State was the right fit for him. The thing that I came away with, before he even really got started, I'm going to read you a couple things that he said before he took any questions. Now, the opening statement was what he prepared and stated on stage in front of all of you. But he said this, and I think it speaks to Brian O'Connor's character. I know this was scheduled to jump right to questions. The event out there was a celebration and an announcement. It wasn't intended to talk about the past. So before I answer questions, I want to talk about the past and why I'm here. 22 years ago, the athletic director at the University of Virginia decided to take a chance on a 32-year-old who had never been a head coach. And I'm forever grateful to Craig Littlepage for giving me that opportunity. As the 22 years passed, we had so much success on the field and in the classroom, the donors, the fans, it just kept growing and growing to levels that maybe nobody thought it would. I'm incredibly proud of that and thankful for those 22 years of everybody that immersed themselves in that baseball program, players, fans, donors. Then Craig Littlepage stepped down and Carla Williams took over as the athletic director. With her guidance and support, our program at Virginia at that time continued to elevate. That was evident that in three out of the last 4 years, that program going to Omaha. I haven't had the opportunity to thank the fans and all the support and everybody involved at the University of Virginia, but I am forever grateful for all the support that was there for that baseball program. And there's some other things that he said. I think the premise of these comments is important because he had not really had the venue yet to say thank you. And he does go on to say that he'd written a letter to the fans and Carla Williams will release that when she feels it's the appropriate time. And I think that also says a lot about O'Connor too, that rather than just go on his own social media, I don't think he has Twitter, but he wanted to let Virginia do it on their own time. But there was some criticism. You know, when he was hired on the Virginia side, people were like, hey, how come we haven't got a statement of thanks? And number one, I don't know why people feel like they're entitled to that. But number two, it is kind of a social custom, especially when you spend 22 years there. Maybe you don't feel like you owe it to them, but you do. And I think Brian O'Connor kind of recognized that. It's like, hey, before we get started talking about the future of Mississippi State, let me say thank you to all those people that welcomed me and my family at the University of Virginia and allowed us to be successful. Says a lot about his character and makes me feel even better about the hire. And so I want to skip along to the two questions that I asked because I wanted to ask real baseball questions.
Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's Managed Hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Questions, right? And that's not in any way, I mean, I'm not going to ask him about first and third defense with the rest of the media there. I'm not going to ask him about bunt defense with the rest of the media there. We may do that one-on-one. But I wanted to ask questions that I felt people that know and love baseball wanted the answers to. One of the things that we see around our conference is a lot of teams that have become very, very portal reliant. LSU, Georgia, right? Matter of fact, we benefited from Georgia being very portal reliant. We got Charlie Foster and Duke Stone because of that, because they had those guys committed, had some conversations and kind of changed a little bit of the offering there because they needed to go get some portal guys. So we've benefited from that. And the thing that I have said for a long time is, yes, we need to be aggressive in the portal, but it needs to make sense. We don't need to just have to go rebuild a program and a roster every single year like a junior college program. And Brian O'Connor's answer to my question was music to my ears. One of the things that I have learned from some of my friends in pro baseball is that drafting a Virginia signee is almost a recipe for failure, because those young people have already been sold on going to play for Brian O'Connor. And so I asked him, Coach, you have this reputation among pro baseball that, hey, when a guy signs with you, you get those kids to school. How have you been so successful in getting those guys to come to school? O'Connor's response, I've always looked at the process a young man goes through at 18 years old and considering the Major League Baseball draft. It's a great opportunity for those young men. They have to, with their families, make their own individual decision about what direction they want to go with their life at the age of 18. I have never and do not talk a player out of signing out of high school. What I talk to them about is between the age of 18 and 21, how do they want to live their life? What do they look like for their development path? What do they look like their development path? Or how they want to look. The two paths are different. This path, you choose a coaching staff that every day is going to be a part of your development, and it's going to be with the consistency every day and every year in their development until they're eligible for the draft again. You start to prove a track record of development. Those young men see that this is a great path and avenue for them. I believe in these two words, prepared and equipped for whatever you do in life. Where to be a college baseball player or a college coach, I believe college baseball, especially at this level, prepares those young men to be prepared and equipped for their professional careers. That's really it. That's what's behind it. It's not a sales pitch. It's genuine, and it helps them choose the best path for them. End quote. I think that is an absolute home run of an answer. Because if you think about it, if you get drafted out of high school, well, you know, you're riding these buses and staying in these flea bag motels. You know, a bunch of grown men in many respects. Many of them have, you know, wives and children back home. And as some of our Diamond Dogs in recent years that have gone to the minors have told me, it's kind of a lonely life. It's not like being in college where you're around your guys all the time. In college, you eat together, you hit together, you hang out together, you study together, you're in class together. When you're in minor league baseball, sometimes the only time you see the other guys is at the ballpark or on the bus. And so there's not the same level of camaraderie. Not to mention, guys, you're being moved up and down different levels. So you never get too close to people. You have some buddies, but it's a different deal. And when you're 18 years of age, that's one of the things you have to think about. If I'm 18 years old, hey, I can go to college, and I know what the next 2 to 3 years should look like. I don't have that same guarantee in minor league baseball. I thought it was an excellent answer. And I think it's one of those things, too, where you empower people with information. You see, hey, this is what we have done in the past. This is what our players have done in the past. And I think all of that is very, very important. I don't think there's any question that that's very important. To give those players as much information as you can to allow them to make the best informed decision for them and their families. There are a lot of people out there that are kind of suckers for the quick reward. I think that's fair. Now, one of the next questions I asked him, and again, I was very pleased with his answer, and he kind of piggybacks off of the earlier question. I talked a little bit about roster composition. You know, again, there's a lot of people within our league. They're always looking for, we're going to build a team for this year. I think you don't go to Omaha 3 out of 4 years like Brian O'Connor did at Virginia by trying to do that every year. Not to mention it gets incredibly expensive, but you don't have that core nucleus of players. And so I asked him, this year may be a little bit different, right? It's your first year here, but how do you kind of approach roster composition? And so O'Connor says this, I really believe in the high school player. And praise the Lord for that. The high school player has to be the foundation of any consistent, successful college baseball program. It starts there because you bring them in the program and you have the opportunity for 3 or 4 years for them to continue to develop, and you have a plan and understand what you have coming back next season. That's crucial. The exact breakdown, I don't know. It depends on what the roster size ends up being to answer that question. I think you have to look at 8 to 10 high school players in a class depending on what your needs are. Then you fill in from there. If you're developing them like you should develop, maybe you don't have to go into the transfer portal as much. The 2026 Mississippi State baseball team, my priority in meeting with these young men is for the young men who possess the ability, have the skill set, and think the right way. They're on the bus. After we've done that, we evaluate and say, what are the other parts of the puzzle we need to put the best team on the field? I don't know that we could have hired somebody that sees all of this closer to the way that I do. You cannot, and I repeat, you cannot maintain consistent levels of performance by going out every single year and trying to spend millions of dollars. And of course, that's going to be somewhat curtailed with this new house settlement, right? And some people are going to have to kind of play catch up. It's like, hey, we used to outbid every people. Now we're going to have to out recruit people again. But you have to have a nucleus of players that you develop and build relationships with. And it's pretty safe to say when all these players you've seen that have transferred from Virginia to Mississippi State in recent days, it is safe to say that Brian O'Connor knows how to build relationships with players. Sean James yesterday. Sean James tweeted out, there's nobody I'd rather play for. It's about relationships. And good recruiting is always about relationships and not about money. My honest belief, if you constantly go out there and you hire guys as mercenaries, you may have a season of success. I just don't think that is sustainable. I don't think you have the resources to consistently do that. Not to mention, at some point, you're going to have a clunker of a portal class. Now, we hit on all of our bats this year at Mississippi State. Pitching, we didn't. It was a very shallow talent pool on the pitching side. You lose Zach Ruth to Arkansas. And Zach's been pretty good for them. Not great, but pretty good. But we got to get some big pitching wins. And I think with Justin Parker and Brian O'Connor working together, you will, right? And it's a very significant development bringing Justin Parker back. And one of the things that I want to share with you guys, too, is I was told in the infancy of all this, and I shared it on jeanspage.com, was that there was some talk about, hey, we like Justin Parker. We're not going to push him on you, but we'd like for you to consider him. And there was a lot of other chatter out there about Corey Mascara. And listen, let me tell you this. That wasn't just made up stuff. I know some people, you know, got a little ahead of the game trying to beat beat the real media to it. Some people tweeted some things out, and a lot of people are kind of rubbing their nose in it. Lesson learned, right, if you're one of the walk-on media types. But that was not just something that just, you know, was made up. There was some truth there. And Brian O'Connor spoke to multiple candidates and then elected to go with Justin Parker, which has made a lot of our fans very happy. Very happy. that he's back. And he did a tremendous job for us down the stretch. I know that he and his wife both wanted to stay here. And my honest opinion is I hope Justin Parker is here until he gets a head coaching job somewhere. And goodness, with the things, such upheaval with South Carolina, could be there, right? But I came away impressed. I like people that actually answer the questions and not just make a statement. There are some people, you ask a question, they'll just say whatever they want to say. You don't really learn anything. But I thought he was very thoughtful in his responses. And I think everybody that maybe is getting to know Brian O'Connor for the first time walked away from the event and from that press conference thinking, you know what, this is going to be okay. This is going to be, this is what we wanted. We want a national championship. We want multiple national championships. I had somebody on the LSU side, a friend of mine, said, "Oh, you guys are out there trying to buy a national championship." I said, "Yep, and it will shine in the sun just as brightly as all the other ones around the country. If we can just go buy one, let's just buy 10. We'll just pass LSU and be where we should be, right?" You know, there's a lot of people in the SEC that are concerned when you got a guy like Brian O'Connor coming, when everybody's starting to make these little pot shots up Mississippi State. And I love it. I love it. There have been so many times in recent years where people have kind of seen Mississippi State as friendly. Now, I'm not saying we want to go be the villains, right? I think Tennessee's kind of got that hemmed up anyway. But as I shared on the JeansPage.com message board today, I want fans of opposing teams to plan weddings in the spring when they know Mississippi State is coming to town. It's like, hey, that's not a good weekend for us to go to the ballpark. Let's just get married that weekend. I want to be a dominant baseball program. I don't want to be a team that just goes to Omaha. I want to be a team that racks up national championships, multiple national championships. I want to be feared and hated. And I know most of you do too. I don't need the rest of the SEC to give us a thumbs up to make us feel good about ourselves. I remember those days when the series between Mississippi State and LSU, like you see what's happening with Tennessee and Arkansas right now, that's how it used to be with LSU and Mississippi State. And we haven't held up our end of the deal. Even though we've had some success against them in recent years, head-to-head, we haven't done things to make them envious, other than winning the national championship at 21. You understand what I'm saying? We need to have weekends that matter. We need to have weekends where all other fans are thinking, you know what, hey, I've always wanted to go to the Dude. Maybe this is the year to do it because those guys are outstanding. What a great weekend it's going to be. But I'm a firm believer that opposing fans should be seen and not heard. But I'm excited for me. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for Mississippi State baseball. And anybody that's not excited is just simply not paying attention. So with all of that, we're going to name our Close with Blair player. And this time it's an administrator. It's going to be Zach Selman. Give Blair Chandler a call at 601-500-2344 or visit his website, closewithblair.com. It's one of those life hacks they don't tell you about. You need a great mortgage loan originator. You need somebody that knows what they're doing. That's Blair Chandler, 24 years of experience. Get his expertise working for you to make your dream of home ownership a reality. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair Chandler is the only name you need to know. Several Boneyard listeners have closed loans with Blair. You could be the next. Visit the website, call or text him today. Again, 601-500-2344. Get that pre-qualification letter. You don't need to be shopping above your means. It doesn't matter how nice a house you have if you got to work overtime to pay for it and never be able to enjoy it. It's true. Life is short. Wear a helmet. But Close with Blair, the name to know when it comes to mortgage loan origination. Yes, we're going to go with Zach Selman. So many people worried about this hire. They didn't have a lot of faith in Zach Selman. Wasn't a lot of evidence to support that. But there are a lot of people that said, hey, you know, we went 2-10 last year. It's one of the worst years of football many of us have been around. A lot of it's because we were talent deficient and we're kind of changing philosophy. So we had to get some players that fit what we wanted. Had a chance to kind of hang and spend some time with some of our football staffers the last couple days, and I can tell you, everybody appears to be very optimistic about this year. Doesn't mean we're going to win 8 or 9 games, But it does mean that we're going to be in a much better situation. That understood, Zach Selman is a competitor. Zach Selman just needed to be pointed in the right direction. He used the counsel of many people, including Mitch Moreland, through this process, and went out and got one of the best coaches in America, a sitting Hall of Fame national championship coach, to come to Mississippi State. And he went out and got the resources to make that happen. I've seen some people with some hot takes that are really, you know, kind of a hot mess, saying, oh, Zach Selman doesn't deserve any credit for this. Anybody could have made that happen. That's completely false. That's completely false. Zach Selman had to go out there and raise the money to ensure we could do what we wanted to do to return Mississippi State to a premier college baseball program and put ourselves in a position to host on a more regular basis. And he's done that. So, yes, he deserves our praise and our respect for making that happen. Zach Selman, your close with Blair, Player of the Week. It's time for today's Top 10 list. As always, brought to you by Kalido Guitars. Visit them at CalidoGuitars.com. That's a Mississippi State-owned and operated company. Based out of Lake Jackson, Texas, they have family here in Starkville. Make it back from time to time. I have broken bread with these fine folks, and you're going to be completely satisfied. Incredible service, great selection, expertise that is unsurpassed. They're players, right? They're not just retail operators. They're players. They understand music. They understand what guitarists need and want. So rather than go to some other online company, you can go visit their showroom, you can call in, you can visit online, and you'll be very happy with that. I've got a guitar stand from them, very happy with. Easy to assemble, high quality piece of equipment that I have. I don't play well enough to consider myself a guitar player, but I do enjoy playing when I do. My son's much, much better. But all that understood, there's just something about kind of plugging in and kind of hammering out a few power chords to make you feel good about life. You owe it to yourself, whether you're a seasoned player or a beginner player, to use Kalido Guitars for your guitar supplies, whether it be gig bags, cases, accessories, or the instrument themselves, whether you're looking for an acoustic guitar, a classical guitar, an electric guitar, a beginner guitar, or a professional guitar. They can help you upgrade your rig. Be sure and visit them today at Kalido Guitars. Okay, as I mentioned, there are some people who are somewhat envious around the college baseball community. And I drink their tears like nectar from the heavens, because I like people to be envious of us, because it means we're doing things the right way. There's a lot of people out there that won't say it publicly, that are thinking it privately. Our little window is closing, because the sleeping giant in Starkville has been awakened. You guys have done your part for a long time. I don't know that we've done our part administratively, to be honest with you. And now we have. It's been corrected. So now you're going to have the financial wherewithal to compete against anybody in the country. You're going to have the great fan support. We have the best baseball fans in the country, without question. A lot of people make that claim, but it's just a hashtag. It's not reality. But there are a lot of people a little bit jealous about what's happening in Starkville. You hear Kendall Rogers go out there and say, hey, Mississippi State's going to have the greatest war chest in college baseball to assemble a roster. That's got people awfully excited. In our next segment, I'm sure we're going to talk about comings and goings in the portal. But today, at this point, for our top 10 list, let us address the jealousy around the Southeastern Conference and the college baseball community about what's happening in Starkville, Mississippi. We'll start with number 10, Lou Reed. I think it's Lou's first inclusion in a top 10 list on this show. We're going to go with endlessly jealous. It's true. And there's some people out there that have to contend with that in their everyday life. Number 9, now one of my favorite John Lennon songs, but it was a hit. And he kind of confessed, I'm just a jealous guy. No offense to Yoko. I think John was secure in that relationship. Number 8, it's Joe Cocker, the jealous kind. He's kind of confessing himself. I can be a little bit jealous. I think most men can. Number 7, Nick Jonas, who actually headlined Bulldog Bash one time, had a big hit called Jealous. You know, I hate to be hellish, but I still get jealous, you know. And there's some reality to that, right? Nobody likes some dude chatting up their significant other. Number six, a band that I love, and this is actually after Ronnie James Dio had left Rainbow and he had formed Dio, the legendary Dio. If you don't know Dio, you should. They weren't a corporate rock sellout like a lot of other bands, but they were a respected band because Ronnie James Dio is a king. But Joe Lynn Turner sang on this album. There was actually a little EP they put out, and it's called Jealous Lover from Rainbow. And again, it's one of Joe Lynn Turner's first songs with Rainbow. If you don't know the Rainbow catalog, you should. If you like classic rock, you'll enjoy Rainbow. It's true. I'm telling you from experience, you'll enjoy this. Number five, it's the Cars. It's my best friend's girl. I can tell you, I've never had that experience where one of my best friend's girlfriends was appealing to me more so than her friend. There's some that are really cute, you know, dressed nice, that sort of stuff, but I believed in the guy code, and I still do. And let me explain some of that for some of you young bucks that listen to the show. Here is Uncle Rose Bowl's feelings about the guy code. Okay, so if we are friends, not acquaintances, but if we're friends, right? So I grew up and I had basically three best friends. I had a lot of other friends, too, that were really good friends. But if I called you a friend, like if I ever like spent the night at your house or we went out regularly, as a group, any girl that you dated was completely off limits for me. Now, that wasn't always observed for me. I didn't get the same courtesy. But when a girl broke up with you, then she broke up with me. I had no need to continue the relationship. I saw her in Walmart, I'd speak to her. I wouldn't flirt with her. I wouldn't date her. I wouldn't call her. We didn't text back then. We didn't have social media. We actually had to be men and actually ask girls out. We did in person or over the phone. Now, if you're a friend of a friend, then I have no code of conduct, right? And there are some friends of friends that kind of found that out. You know, I just, let's like say for an example, like my friend Ernie Turner, right? So Ernie, some of you guys know him from Brandon, one of the best friends I've had in my life. Well, when Ernie may have a friend, you know, or a cousin that would be like a peripheral member of our group, I have no allegiance to him. My allegiance is to Ernie. So any girl Ernie dated was off limits for me. Period. Same thing for Greg, Alan, Steve Sanders, any of those guys. If they dated a girl, then we were done. There would be none of this, you know, no girl was going to date among the friend group with me, and I would kind of shame other dudes. Now, I had some girls that when we quit dating each other, some of my friends called on them. I guess they thought, well, since Steve dated her, I can too. They were found to be incorrect. But it's funny how that all kind of comes together. So back in the early 90s, that's kind of how I saw it. Now, today, I don't know how you guys see it, you know. But that's the old school version of it. And again, there's nobody out there that can say that, hey, Steve stabbed me in the back with any of this. And there's not within my friend group. There's a lot of other people out there. Like, if I don't know you, you know, because I'll be honest with you, and maybe this is an insecurity in me. When I was younger, if I found out that a girl was dating somebody, it kind of made her more attractive. It's true. I guess it was kind of a challenge. But the thing that I've told my sons, and some of you women will disagree, the women in my life do disagree, and they are welcome to be wrong, but every girl has got something going. It may not be a relationship that they're totally committed to, but they've got something going. There's a guy they're talking to, a guy they hang out with who's just their, quote, friend, and we've been that friend, and we all know that we wanted to be more than friends. We were just kind of waiting for our turn. I mean, how many times do you hear it? We were best friends. And then one day we realized that love was right here all along. Well, it's because that guy's been jockeying for position. And every time that you confess to him, I'm having problems with my boyfriend. Oh, you deserve better than that. you know, it's not honest advice. It's not. But we're moving on. Number four, Natalie Merchant, the very talented and attractive singer from 10,000 Maniacs. Jealousy. Probably her biggest hit as a solo artist. Very, very talented. Number three, I love the reel that's making the rounds these days, kind of reenacting the writing of Jesse's Girl from Rick Springfield. That's going to be your number three song today, Jesse's Girl, right? And it's a true story. There was a couple in Rick Springfield's acting class that were together that Rick kind of developed a crush on, the lady friend. And he wrote the song about that. And last I heard, they were still together. Not Rick and Jesse's girl, but Jesse and his girl. Which kind of makes the sound of the song feel a little silly. But it's funny seeing the reel going around. Like the drummer himself is like getting aggravated. You know, he's like, oh, it's just a song, you know. You can imagine how that went over. Number two, it was our gateway song to one of America's great Southern rock bands in maybe the last 20, 30 years. I guess, man, it goes back almost 35 years now. It's Jealous Again off the great debut album from the Black Crowes, Shake Your Moneymaker. If you don't know that album, if you're a young buck, you owe it to yourself to listen to it in its entirety. And then once you finish that, then you will be ready for the rest of that catalog. But that's where it all started. Jealous Again, great, great track. But number one, and if you know me, and if you know my musical history and the bands that I love, there was a band with a debut album that I loved every song on this album, and it really kind of changed my whole attitude about kind of alternative rock music. Even they were a little more radio-friendly than most. But it's the Gin Blossoms' New Miserable Experience. That album to me is a masterpiece. I got many friends of mine that love music too. And like in time we talk about music and they're like, hey, there's this one album that kind of changed it for me in the early 90s is the New Miserable Experience for the Gin Blossoms. And it all goes back to Doug Hoskins. And Doug, sad story, but Doug was an absolutely shameless alcoholic. He was a guy that dealt with very, very big depression issues. And he would use that as part of his creative genius. And so, Hey Jealousy was the debut single off that debut album. And it is absolutely ingenious, you know, especially that part. But maybe tomorrow we can drive around this town, let the cops chase us around. The past is gone. Something else might be found to take its place. And that was about a friend's sister that he was enamored with. And at the time they had talked about dating, it had never worked out. And this is kind of his ploy. He wrote this song about that. And Doug Hoskins was a musical genius. We lost him far too soon. If you know the Gin Blossoms story, it's not a very happy one. And, of course, Gin Blossoms is part of alcoholism. And ironically, Doug, of course, was an alcoholic. There is a great essay out there called The King of Suburbia about Doug Hoskins. And you can probably find it. There's word that there's a documentary being filmed about all that. But Doug was a guy that was kicked out of the band. He was a self-saboteur, and he even put sugar in the gas tank of the band's van when they were going to a showcase. They ultimately signed with A&M Records, and Doug ultimately killed himself. And he was forced to sign his rights away in the band and got peanuts for it. And then shortly after he got his gold record in the mail, he killed himself. And it's a really sad story. And I share that with you not to depress you, but to make sure that you understand there are a lot of people that have really cool jobs that have the same problems that you and I do. You know, alcoholism is no respecter of persons. You know, I've said many times before, there's a lot of people out there. The only difference between a soccer mom hopped up on antidepressants and pain pills and the streetwalker is where they get their drugs and ultimately how they pay for it. And so I share that with you because, of course, recovering alcoholism and drug addiction is very close to me in my life, and I owe so much to the people in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. And if I make it to December 10th this year, it'll be 34 years clean and sober. I guess I absolutely qualify as an old-timer these days, and I don't go to meetings every day anymore. I go kind of sporadically. I probably should go more, but the work that I do kind of keeps me sane, you know. I get a lot of joy out of the work, and I guess in some respects, some would consider me a recovered alcoholic. I don't adopt that label. I think it's still an ongoing process. I still learn some things. And I want to tell you something really, really quick, because I'm always trying to learn things. And I like to learn things that motivate and inspire me. And I recently ran across something on a podcast. And it was basically, there was a segment of the show where they talked about shepherds. And shepherding is one of the oldest professions in the history of mankind, right? It's a very important job, because shepherding protected the community. You think about, you know, the flock of sheep out there. You know, you had to lead them into greener pastures to make sure they didn't, you know, get bad weed or get into some poisoned grass or something that would impact them if they were nursing, impact their young, and could lead to a virus in the whole flock, and the whole flock is damaged, and you lead them by the water. You got to be very vigilant, watching them to make sure that nobody gets too deep in because of the fact that their heavy coats could get water and they drown. You got to ensure that they keep those coats clean, because we're going to shear them every now and again for clothing and for bedding. And so the health of the community in many respects, especially in ancient times, was based on the health of the flock. Because at times, you know, you're going to sacrifice a sheep to feed the family. And so there was just so much that came from shepherding. And a lot of people have kind of misconstrued the role of a shepherd, you know, as to be something soft. The guys that are shepherds are like superheroes, man. And let me ask you this. It's a rhetorical question, because you can't answer me now. What's the most important job of the shepherd? What's his greatest function? Now pause for emphasis' sake. The most important job of the shepherd is to kill the wolf. Now that's true metaphorically. That's true literally. And it's one of those things that kind of equates to human existence. Now I'm not advocating for violence here. I'm kind of speaking metaphorically. But the shepherd has to kill the wolf for the betterment of the herd, for the betterment of the community. And so if you're not willing or capable of killing the wolf, you got no business picking up a staff and leading a flock. Points to ponder. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samatic on X at DAWGMATIC67. That spells out Dogmatic 67. The 67 is his birth year. He's much, much, much older than me. And you can find our great list on Spotify under the same handle. You can also find me on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Be sure and check out Campus Bookmart next time you're in town. You'll be glad you did. The best selection of Mississippi State merchandise in the known universe. And they don't share it with other schools like some other people do. It's all Mississippi State stuff from Mississippi State people for the Mississippi State fan base, right? Go by and see their smiling faces when you're in town. You may get a complimentary hug. I do. Maybe that's just for me, but I don't think so. In addition to that, if you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is not a good shopping day for you, visit them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. The Disney trip's coming up. The weekend on the coast is coming up. Maybe you're going to Gulf Shores, Destin, wherever. Turks and Caicos, I don't know. Rep the brand wherever you go. Get some vacation clothes from Campus Bookmart. And certainly buy yourself something in anticipation of this upcoming football season. All right, let's get up to speed on the portal. A lot has happened since we have been together. A lot of it happened when we were at football camp yesterday. Just kind of part of the deal, right? It happens. But a lot of cool things have happened, and some things that maybe some people are going to be disappointed with. And that's okay, right? I discussed this when we made the move that, hey, there's going to be some portal movement is going to make some people uncomfortable. And here's what happens with that, okay? And I want to speak right down to a language that everybody can easily understand, to borrow a phrase. But you got to crack a few eggs to make an omelet. And what happens is we get to know these players, their families. They follow us on social media. Maybe they join our Facebook group at our urging, which I told you, not a big thing, not a good idea. But nevertheless, we get to know them. And sometimes we lose objectivity because we place personalities before principles. I want to win the national championship. And every single one of those players, when I get ready to evaluate them, if I'm the new coach, is can this guy get me to Omaha and win the thing? Not just get me to Omaha. Not just get me to a super. Not just get me to host in a regional. Can this player help me win the national championship? And I'll be honest with you, that's the only criteria we should have in evaluating baseball players, because we are a national level program and we have to recruit and make decisions at a national championship level. So we've had some players that have entered the portal, and the overwhelming majority of them have been at the urging of the new coaching staff. And that's directly from the player families themselves. And a lot of people out there, oh, you know, this is a terrible loss, not knowing that they were encouraged, hey, you should probably go and check out some of your options in the portal. All right, so here we are. We knew about Gavin Black, Landis Davila, shortstop Dylan Cup, pitcher Wes Pritchard. I got a nice message from his mother the other day. And, you know, Wes wasn't exactly 100% this year. And I think Wes is going to be a guy that probably goes to junior college for a couple years and then comes out of there ready to roll, okay? Not to say that we wouldn't be interested in him. We may be. But those of you that are, like, doubting Wes Pritchard, I think you're number one, kind of ignorant of some of the facts around him right now, but also probably selling him a little bit short. Mekhi Grant, and I've seen some stuff on social media, and people want to argue about that. It's one of the things, there's so many people that are often in error, never in doubt. They go, oh, well, he already entered the portal earlier. No, he didn't. No, he did not. You're absolutely wrong about that. Now, he was dismissed from the team, and he went home to complete his coursework online, and then the portal opened on Monday, which was the first day that he could officially enter the portal. He actually officially entered on Tuesday. We shared his story on Tuesday as it happened. And so I share that with you because there's a lot, again, a lot of these people have a lot to say that it's not rooted in fact. But we wish Mekhi Grant the best, he and his family. Michael O'Brien, loved the O'Brien family. I absolutely do. Love the whole shoot match. Mike's sister's actually going to be coming to Mississippi State next year. Going to be a student at State. Loves it up here. But yeah, the Bryans are fabulous people. And I wouldn't totally rule out Mike leaving. Now, he's in the portal, yes. But if Mike puts together a good summer, don't totally rule out Mike coming back. Mike's not leaving on bad terms. Mike's not bitter. Mike wants to be here, okay? And I don't want to just speak on his behalf, but I've read some people out there, some comments on social media, completely irrelevant to the conversation. But Mike has a good summer. When we get to the end of this thing, there may be a pathway back for him. I think he's going to have some other alternatives, and so he may have a decision to make. But I wish him the best. And again, Mike, Shannon, the whole group loved him. Kennedy, the whole group loved them all. Nolan Stevens has already announced his decision to transfer to Oklahoma. Not a shocker. We have been hearing basically for months that he was going to go in the portal and probably reunite with his brother at Oklahoma. That's exactly what he's done. Pitcher Luke Dotson, a disappointment for me because when you've got a lefty that can throw mid-90s, I like to keep him. I do, but he was another guy that was encouraged to enter the portal. And I've read some of the social media commentary, and I just kind of scratched my head. Because that's what happened. That's what happened. And it's okay. It's okay. But I'd like for Luke to be back. But I've read some things out there that are just devoid of truth. Catcher Jackson Owen, not a surprise there for me. Jackson Owen, a guy that grew up dreaming to play at Mississippi State. A fantastic young man. Has been kind of a fall ball hero. Got hurt this year. And that's really the unfortunate thing is I don't think we ever really got to see Jackson Owen for who he really is and can be at Mississippi State. But he got to wear the uniform for a little while. Wish him the best. Robert Fortenberry, a guy whose dad is from my native Marion County. He was a West Marion guy. I'm a Columbia High guy. But Robert, great young man. It just didn't come together. And people forget he was the National Junior College Pitcher of the Year. Did some good things for us down the stretch, but in the middle of the year, we had some trouble. Kevin Minnell, another guy that originally signed with Kansas State, worked through the junior college ranks, went to the MLB Combine. We thought maybe we had something there. And Kevin's just a guy that just doesn't have an out pitch for a left-hander. You know, he's a guy that's more of a drop-down sidearm guy. So sweeping away, you know, from the right-hander, he can be a handful. But just didn't have a pitch to really get out left-handers. And you kind of saw that throughout the year. Steven Spalletta in the portal, really no surprise there. You remember he was a late signee a couple years ago. Things didn't necessarily work out with Tulane. He ends up here. I think he hit like seven jacks his first fall here. Defensively, he was kind of behind some guys, and we're like, that's okay. We'll give him time. You know, maybe he can be a DH every now and again. Hit a big bomb for us this year, as you guys are well aware. But could play a little bit of third, but we have a better third baseman. You know what I'm saying? So it's just one of those, not a real natural position. And I think Steven will land somewhere and have a good career. And then, of course, Ross Highfield. And then that's the thing you begin to look at now. Joe Powell is exhausted his eligibility. We don't have a catcher on the roster on scholarship. And so I wondered, and I knew that Ross was a guy, too, that was probably considering this. But I wondered, maybe, hey, let's hang on to Ross because it's going to be difficult to go out and get two catchers in the portal. And you probably already got a good idea, some of you that have followed this thing kind of astutely, that there's a couple guys that we're on. And we may end up getting like a Johnny Long guy as a second, right? A guy that, you know, just can kind of be a backup type catcher. But we got to go get a stud starter, as you guys are aware. And then today's news, Lucas Bugner goes in. Big fan of Lucas Bugner, his mom, his dad, great people. And kind of hate to see things go down the way they did. We signed those three kids, and Farragut, and two of them already in the portal. So you hate to see that. But Kate O'Leary, the one that is still with us, you know, at this point, and a guy that we think has a bright future. Now, we've added five players from the portal. And the first one, Tomas Valencias, left-handed pitcher from Virginia. I know you guys are somewhat familiar with him, and we talked about him. If you're a subscriber to Gene's page, I mentioned that we may have a good chance to get the Valencias brothers to Starkville. Well, Tomas, and I'm assuming that's correct, he went 5-1 this year as a freshman, was an all-ACC freshman. 5-1 with a 4.59 ERA, made 12 starts. Allowed right at a hit per inning, again as a freshman, allowed 33 earned runs, 5 tanks, struck out 70 and walked just 17 as a freshman. Yeah, that'll get it done, right? Threw just over 1,021 pitches, or right at 1,021 pitches, 652 of them for strikes. And he wasn't like he was just kind of pitching against the midweek guys. You know, he started out kind of getting after it on the weekends. You know, opened up with Rice and pitched against Oklahoma, Dartmouth, Boston College, and Cal. And then you kind of get into your conference play here. Of course, Cal is in the ACC now, which is still weird. They're on the Pacific, playing in the ACC, but you get it. Pitched against Duke, Stanford, NC State, Pitt, James Madison, Georgia Tech, Miami, and Virginia Tech. So, again, a 5-1 record and gave his team a chance to win. This is a good get for Mississippi State. There's really not any question about it. And I mentioned, you know, his brother, which a fabulous name as well. And he is a guy that can play a little bit all over. He could be a first baseman. He could be a left fielder. He could be kind of a utility guy, is a DH, bigger guy, obviously. But I think it's interesting, you know, you get both of those guys together. Vitus Valencias. We're going to need a pronunciation guide next year. Vitus Valencias. 6'4", 225-pound guy, also went to the junior college system, so we'll see what that means with this ruling. He ends up being a second-team Big Ten selection. Already has his degree, but you start running down these numbers, and you kind of get a sense, you know, 11 tanks last year. Is that right? Seven tanks, 33 walks, 58 RBI. A guy didn't get some things done. You know, we talk about, you know, guys, here's the thing. If you want to go to Omaha and win it, you got to have a bunch of guys that can hit the ball at the ballpark. Vitas Valencias led Illinois in hitting this year with a 348 average. 14 doubles, which is also a team high. 7 home runs, 58 ribbies, as we mentioned. And what's interesting, 33 walks against his 28 strikeouts. A guy that walks more than he strikes out. That's one of the things that really helped Mississippi State this year was low strikeout rates out of the portal. He was also 11 of 12 in stolen base attempts. Interesting. And that's for a team that only had 69 stolen bases. He was second on the team in stolen bases and had the best percentage of players with double-digit steals. So very, very good get there. And the rest of what we have so far, of course, are guys from Virginia. And many of these guys are younger guys with multiple years of eligibility left. And again, it says a lot about Brian O'Connor that his players want to follow him. You know, many of them just kind of showed up on the visit and said, hey, this is what I want to do. And guys, Virginia is a nice park. It is. It's not great. It's not what we have, okay? But it's not fair to kind of judge them by the Mississippi State lens. And that's not being arrogant. It's just the reality. We have the greatest cathedral in the history of college baseball. James Nunley has joined the program. He had 296 last year, played in 48 games, started 40. One home run, but 26 RBI. You know, he's a guy that maybe he's not going to rate really high on the analytics scale, but he is a guy, again, a younger guy with a lot of upside. Now, you probably read the name is Sean James. It's not, it's Sean. Sean, just kind of a hipster spelling there. Sean James, another guy that we think, you know, a younger guy that's got a bright future, multiple years ahead of him. Wrote that piece up, you know, myself yesterday. But it's just so interesting to look at some of these guys and kind of seeing what you have, what you can make of them. But Sean James hit 373, played in 26 games, started 15. 11 of those at DH, 2 in left, and 2 at second base. I like guys with versatility. No home runs, but 11 RBIs. But this is a guy, too, that'll battle you at the plate. And so you feel good about it. And then today's edition, Aiden Teal. Now, it comes from a great family. I was told early in this process the Teal family are O'Connor fans. Of course, they've had multiple sons play for Brian O'Connor. Aiden Teal hit 317 on the year, 50 games, 50 starts. Everyday guy for them. 7 tanks, 40 RBI. And a guy that can run a little bit, 9 for 9 in stolen bases. And so a good start to the portal, as you guys are aware of, but yeah, with so many departures. And somebody asked me how many guys I thought State would lose that you probably would like to keep. I'd say about 6. I'm down on that list now. I think it'll be less. And as you guys are kind of aware by now, Ace Reese announced last night that he would be returning to Mississippi State. And, of course, that deal being made before the House settlement ruling, we'll see what that means for the deal. We won't get a lot of information about that. But it was one of those things I was told they wanted to get a deal done before the House settlement deadline was done, and we have. I don't know all the impact of those rules yet. I don't know that many people do. We kind of need a Cliff Notes version to kind of keep up with it all. But Ace Reese expected to be the face of our program. Led us last year with a 352 batting average, 21 tanks, 66 RBI. All of those led the team. So now you bring him back and you put some better pieces around him. A lot of people don't realize this, too, that Ace Reese played basically the last month of the year with a bum foot. True story. Maybe you're unaware of that. But he didn't even get 100% Ace Reese. Of course, by the end of the year, everybody's a little bit banged up. But he also led us in doubles. Ace is a dude. Told you guys last year, a lot of people were like, hey, we didn't get a marquee win in the portal. Yes, we did. We tried to tell you then Ace Reese was a star. And I told some people in college baseball, he's like, I don't know what to make of this Mississippi State team in preseason. I said, don't be surprised if Ace Reese doesn't end up being a dark horse for SEC Player of the Year. Now, he didn't get that, but he did get a lot of postseason accolades, and he'll be a guy that was be a preseason All-American too. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So let's kind of run through like guys that have already announced. And listen, there's some guys that I don't expect a formal announcement from. But you have seen Ryan McPherson has come out and stated that he plans to be back. Not a real surprise there, I guess. But I was told back in Hoover that if Justin Parker was back, that Ryan McPherson would be back. I think Ryan McPherson's a guy that has first-round potential. I think he is that good. He went 4-1 this year with a 4.12 ERA and also had three saves. He was part of seven victories, at least in the decision. He's back. You guys, if you've listened to this show for last year, you know what a big fan I am of Charlie Foster. And you guys did not get to see much of him this year. Charlie Foster is a future Friday night guy. And I've had some other people kind of argue with me about that. That is perfectly fine with me. Even if he just proves to be a Saturday guy, I'm good with that too. But he is absolutely a weekend guy. He goes 0-1 this year, 1.59 ERA, allowed just three hits in seven appearances. And, of course, you go back to that Southern Miss weekend, that Southern Miss midweek game that we got beat in. Guys, the batting average against Charlie Foster was 0.81. So you got just a little bit of a sample, right, of who Chuck can be. But this is a guy that can flag it after it, man. You go back and think about this. He gave up four runs on the year. Three of them came against Southern Miss in a 3-0 loss. After that, in his next five appearances, he allowed one run on one hit, and that was against Texas. That's it. The final three appearances, absolute money down the stretch here. Nine strikeouts, did walk three against Florida State, but Charlie kept us in that game and gave us a chance to win. But you got a nice little sample size of who Charlie can be, and I think he is a guy that you can be excited about. Dane Burns is back too. I'm not totally surprised by that. Dane's a guy that's wanted to be here for a long time, and I think Justin Parker can get even more out of him. When he is on, it is very, very nasty from the left-hand side. He hides the ball well, long-limbed, great extension. Kind of gets on you pretty quick. Of course, he had the meltdown down at LSU, and some people never forgot that. But he finishes his freshman year with a 1-1 record, 4.02 ERA. Goes 15 2/3, less than a hit per. Allowed seven earned runs, 19 strikeouts. Did have a dozen walks, and some of that, again, kind of happened earlier in the year. But Dane Burns is a dude, and I think it's one of those things, too. I don't think you guys have seen the best of him. Of course, he missed some time, too. But we just talk about, getting better down the stretch. In Dane Burns' last five appearances, that's what we're checking out right now, right? Last five appearances, he gave up four hits. That's it. Four hits. Looking at strikeouts, he can help you with that too. Had some walks against Florida State, no doubt about it. But five punchies down the stretch too. And so he's a guy we expect to really factor in next year. And so, again, the decision to keep Justin Parker paying some dividends, because you got to think, Brian O'Connor didn't know these guys. He didn't recruit most of these guys. And so getting Justin Parker back helps the player retention. And it also helps with continuity when it comes to coaching and kind of delivery. While O'Connor is a great pitching coach in his own right, he needs to be the skipper. Right, and there's a lot of coaches out there to try to do both. And O'Connor, of course, is a guy that can oversee and certainly make some suggestions. But we're in a good place. We got a lot of work to do between now, probably end of the month, to kind of get guys here for that second session of summer school, kind of get them going in our off-season conditioning program. But many of the early visitors from Virginia were here for the ceremony. And you got to think, they got to see the best of Mississippi State, right? I mean, they got to see you guys turn out just for basically a press conference. Thousands of you And of course, we bring out the fireworks and we have all this pyrotech stuff and we have a special video narrated by Jim Ellis. And we kind of show them, this is big time baseball. You guys have been part of a great program, but you know, we believe with our tradition, we're an elite program too. Now, you've had more recent success in Omaha than we have, but we did beat you in Omaha. You beat us last year in a regional. But the commitment to baseball, despite what Brian O'Connor has said, to be very nice, right? If the commitment at Virginia matched what we had at Mississippi State, he wouldn't be here. And I think that's what the players see too. I get to stay with my coaches, right? And I get to go to play at the premier baseball facility in the country in front of the greatest fans in college baseball. Who could say no to that? All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Be sure and check out the Stark Vegas Clubhouse the next time you're thinking about bringing a large group to town. Maybe you haven't considered that. You should. We stayed there for New Year's, had a blast. It's so nice to have everybody under one roof rather than have them scattered all over the Golden Triangle. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. So if you're taking in a ball game, it's a ball game weekend for baseball, football, basketball, whatever, you can do your tailgating right then and there. Full service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, conversations around a fire are just better. I don't make the rules, I just enforce them. Now, if you want to learn more about the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and you should, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Their Facebook page auto-populates. You can check out all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. And some booking options will pop up. Airbnb, VRBO. You can go that route if you want to. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10. Beautiful Steve Robertson. Gets you 10% off your stay. So you're saving some cool coin just by listening to the show. We love it. We think you will too. The old renovated country club clubhouse, 6 bedrooms, 2, soon to be 3 baths. You'll be so glad you stayed there. And listen, make some memories, right? We only get a short time in life, and we always say we don't get together enough, and that's true. You need to be the linchpin in your friend or family group and get everybody together. It'll be something that mom will always remember. Again, that's the Stark Vegas clubhouse. Okay, we've had 2 days of football prospect camped. And a few things I want to talk about. Birdie McWhorter was there today and yesterday. He is your quarterback commitment for this class. You can read what he had to say post-camp today for free over jeanspage.com. And Brody has basically said, hey, anytime State is doing something, I'm going to be here to help build this class. Made a great comment too. In order to lead in the huddle, you got to lead on the recruiting trail. You got to get these guys together. You got to build relationships with them. You got to DM with them. You got to meet up in Starkville for ball game weekends. And even though he's out there in Cartlesville, Georgia, he is making the trip this weekend. He's coming back next weekend. We're having official visitors. He's not one of them, but he's going to be here to help recruit. His official visit is the weekend of the 20th. So, he was here last weekend. He's here this weekend. He'll be next weekend and 2 weeks from now. And I don't care what you think about a guy's tape, but when you got a guy that's making that type of commitment to be the leader of your football program, you got to respect that. Absolutely, without any question. I got a chance to watch him work with Holacek and Lebby today. It appears he's very coachable. You know, Lebby's sitting there saying, hey, we're working on footwork drills. Do this, try that. The next rep, he does it as instructed. He tells me the footwork drills are a little bit different in his high school, so he's got to practice, kind of what Jeff Lebby and Matt Holacek want. But he said, hey, Jeff Lebby is a quarterback guru, and having a chance to kind of throw for him and have him work on some things mechanically is of great benefit to him, and as well it should be. Now, Nereal White picked up an offer from Mississippi State today. I found out pretty early in the day that he was going to be on campus. He's not a transfer. He is a recruitable athlete for the 2026 class. Transferred or hit the transfer portal after just the one season at Ole Miss. Elected to go to junior college route. He is at East Mississippi Community College, and they do throw it up, and I think he'll do a good job there. But a guy with a little bit of a checkered past, and as you guys know, you know, he made some comments on social media when they were putting these billboards up, hey, put mine in Starkville. To be honest with you, I respect it because it's a rivalry thing, right? He's trying to endear himself to his fans. But I do get a sense there is a bit of regret about all of that because I think he has been somewhat humbled in his recruitment since leaving Ole Miss. The fact that he has to end up going to East Mississippi, and he did say that was the first school that he contacted when he elected to go junior college, and now here he is on the Mississippi State campus, and you think about everything else, that there's no doubt that he can make plays. It's, has he grown up and matured enough to handle the Southeastern Conference again? And he says going to Ole Miss and then having to drop down to JUCO has only made him hungrier because he realizes what he misses. You know, so we'll see. You can read his comments also for free over at jeanspage.com. They're on my social media as well. Some guys that stood out to me the last couple days, for sure. Caden Wade from Kosciuszko. Had a chance to watch them last year against Winona. That's when I saw Keith Lay. I don't think Keith Lay is going to be a Bulldog, but I do think he is a Division I football player. Wade is a Division I athlete. Is he a Division I quarterback? Well, Arkansas State and Southern Miss seem to think so. He's a 2027 kid. And it looks like we're going to have some decent quarterback for then Mississippi for the 2027 class. That'll be interesting to see. But watching him throw the football around rather effortlessly but also very authoritatively was very good to see. I don't get the sense that he is just an athlete playing quarterback. I think he is capable of playing quarterback at the next level. I think he could do a lot of things if he needed to. But watching him operate and watching Coach Orr and that staff kind of get those guys going, really, really good player. Probably the guy that I have been the most impressed with over the last couple days is Zion Cotton from Grenada. I actually saw him 2 years ago. And give the bride some credit. She's shooting photography for me that night, and I'm there to watch, you know, Fat Clark, Fat Forrester now, T.J. Lockhart, Tyler Lockhart, trying to check out those Winona kids. They're playing Grenada. Of course, Grenada won a state championship last year, but 2 years ago they were just kind of getting it figured out. But Zion Cotton was a dude. And you could tell then, and the bride is like, hey, do we need to take a picture of him? And I had to look him up on the roster and say, yeah, he's a sophomore. Absolutely take a picture of him. Began to follow him on social media. We were the first network to set up a profile page for him. He's got a lot of things cooking right now. We still like where Mississippi State stands with him. But watching him yesterday, I don't know that he has the foot speed to play X receiver in the SEC. I do think that he is a guy that could be a bit of a flex tight end. He's a guy that maybe is a tight end, but a little more dynamic than that. He's not an attached tight end. I think he's a guy that you stand up in a two-point stance out there in a slot and kind of go make some things happen. You know, we'll see how things go with him. But that guy's an electric football player. And watching him catch the football, make a turn, get upfield, and get back up to full speed was very impressive. There was one yesterday they just kind of threw a skinny post to him and he split everybody and made it into the end zone. And he looks like what you want an SEC football player to look like. Very, very, very impressed with him. Saw Caleb Unger from MRA. You MRA folks have been inundating us with messages about him throughout this process. Very impressed with him. I don't know that he's a center on the next level. Perhaps he's a guard. But he is certainly an SEC interior lineman. Recently picked up an offer from LSU. That's very interesting to me. But he is a guy that I think is really just kind of growing into his own. And it's so fun to get out there. Today there was over 300 campers. And so and a lot of big body guys that can really move. But they separated the group 2026s, 2027s. And then all of your underclassmen. Another guy that really jumped out today and actually got offered, Trayvon Hall from Tuscaloosa Central. Very, very rangy guy that can really move and catch the ball in space. Really like him. And I suspect that we'll have to beat some people from Alabama to get him. But very, very interesting couple of days. And, you know, we take these camps very seriously. I mean, we want to get out there and see guys, because they're really, it's kind of a thinning of the herd, right? Because everybody is kind of a prospect. They get on campus and you see them compete against their contemporaries, and you see if they can do it under the watchful eye of Mississippi State coaches. And then, of course, they're instructing things. How do these guys absorb coaching? Do they just kind of do what they've always done? Or do they make some things happen? You know, all of that is important. And, again, it's our honor and privilege to go cover those camps for you. It's something we've always done. And we've kind of fought for that years ago when Ole Miss allowed media to go to camps. We were not allowed to go. We along with some of our colleagues, kind of came together in concert and said, hey, either it's an NCAA violation for them or it's not a violation for anybody, and we should be doing it too. I want to give Dan Mullen a lot of credit too, because Dan Mullen was the guy that said, hey, I want these guys here to get things done. So Dan kind of helped us move that along. Before we get out of here, let's take a quick look at the where we are in the college baseball bracket right now. Louisville and Miami are now tied one game apiece. So it'll be a winner-take-all game tomorrow to determine who's going to Omaha. In Miami, remember, they were a three seed. You know, they were a team that was not expected to make the run they have, and now here they are a win away from getting to Omaha. And Louisville, of course, you know, a team that went in as a two seed in Nashville and kind of figured some things out. Dan McDonald, it's been a while since Louisville's been to Omaha. And I understand Coach Chris Simonis there to take part and cheer. We'll watch the game tonight. Oregon State comes from behind. Bryce Hubbard, former Diamond Dog, was instrumental in that ninth inning rally where Oregon State comes from behind to beat Florida State. Florida State was up 4-1 in that ballgame. Oregon State ends up walking it off, much to the glee of many Mississippi State fans out there that are really pulling against Florida State for some of their on-the-field antics last week. UNC and Arizona, that's it. That super regional tied at one game apiece. North Carolina playing at home here. We'll see how things go. Arizona, a team that won the Big 12 tournament. They're red hot right now. That'll be awfully fun to watch. Coastal Carolina, the first team to punch their ticket to Omaha. Yeah, they took care of Auburn today. They sweep that Super Regional in two games. And give Coastal a lot of credit. They can really swing it. You know, the kind of the challenge, and it's kind of not really indicative of Butch Thompson teams. Auburn's starting pitching has really been a bit of a roller coaster this year. You know, they went out and signed Fisher from Florida. Some people had him as a top-rated pitcher in the portal. You know, we absolutely rocked him. We played him. He did not live up to his billing. And the thing that I go back to, Kevin O'Sullivan and Butch Thompson are two of the best head coaches in the country when it comes to developing pitchers. And if O'Sullivan can't get it out of you and Butch Thompson can't get it out of you, I'm not sure it's in you. But great year for Auburn. Many people picked them in the bottom half of the league. They end up playing a Super Regional. The first team eliminated from the Super Regional round, but Auburn has some very young pieces that'll be back next year. Of course, no Ike Irish or Cooper McMurray, so we'll see how things kind of go with them. The Tennessee-Arkansas series, a lot of people are excited about this. Of course, Arkansas wins game one of that series. That'll be a lot of fun for us in the next couple of days. But I know many of you watching that one rather intently, because one of those teams is going to go to Omaha. And I believe Arkansas is capable of winning this thing. The thing that always is interesting to me is, does the Arkansas offense translate to the field at Omaha? It hasn't always done that. They're very, very good at home, and because of the fact they play so well at home throughout the year, they typically have the opportunity to host regionals and or super regionals. And so a lot of benefit there, but does that offense translate to Omaha? Not sure. LSU takes care of West Virginia. Pretty wild game there. One game lead there for LSU. And LSU very offensive in the game. West Virginia had that one big inning, but outside of that, not a lot to really look at. Duke takes Murray State's first game. They win 1-0 in that game. And no matter what happens with the Racers, we will forever be grateful to them for what they have done, dogpowering at Ole Miss to win their first ever NCAA regional. And UCLA and Texas San Antonio kind of getting after it right now. Let's just kind of take a quick look at kind of where things stand for those that by the time you listen to this, you know, these games will be final. But you're kind of looking at the current scoreboard. We can get it to pull up here. Doesn't always work so well for us. UCLA up 3-2 over UTSA in the bottom of five. Texas San Antonio jumped out to a 1-0 lead in that ball game with a solo home run early. Oregon State, Florida State will play tonight. Your good friend and host will be watching that and pulling for the Beavers. Big fan of Beavers, but not so much of Florida State. Florida State's got a really good team, and they have the pitching to make this thing interesting in Omaha. But you got to get through the Beavers first. And that LSU score kind of gaudy, 16-9. Kind of looking ahead to tomorrow, Sunday, which in many respects will be a day off for your good friend and host. I will probably do a couple things in the morning, but it has been a very, very busy week. And really back the last 10 days, you know, we had to run down to Tallahassee, and you know, it's been so much that's gone the last couple weeks. I need to get some rest, and I hope that the dogs will let me. I plan to sleep till around 10 o'clock tomorrow if I can. But, again, Arizona, North Carolina, we'll see what happens there. Arkansas, Tennessee on Sunday, they're going to get underway at 3 o'clock. The Baton Rouge Super Regional will be a 6 p.m. start. So it'll be a busy day of baseball tomorrow. And, yeah, we'll see how things go. But, you know, you could be see some teams punch their tickets. You know, Duke and Murray State playing tomorrow at noon. So this time next year, we want to be in it. And, of course, when I'm walking up those stairs to go to the Brian O'Connor ceremony, I thought to myself, I wasn't sure I'd be climbing these stairs this year again, but I hope at this point next year I'm climbing them to cover a Super Regional at Dirty Noble Field, and that's what we all want. I want to thank you guys so much for all of your love and support. I love and support you all right back. Go to DirtyNobleBook.com. You can get all of my sports titles there along with When the Bottom Falls, signed copies. Father's Day is coming up. Maybe that's a great gift. Get a copy of The Dude, right? Come float with us at True West Float Spa, Starkville. You can get three floats right now for $139. I think that's right. Call Dana to be sure, 662-268-7601. I think she had 20 floaters today. Yeah, things are going well. But we want to help as many people as we can, so come be a part of our float family at True West Float Spa, Starkville. And, of course, jeanspage.com, your home for all Mississippi State sports. And I think we've had 13, 14 stories today on a Saturday, and so we don't take time off. It is our duty, privilege, and passion to be your eyes and ears for all things Mississippi State related. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Lux Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Lux Cafe.